All right, we are live. Welcome to the live stream. Get on in here. Hello, hello, everyone. It's Friday, February 23rd. And I see, okay, here we are. It says I'm live on Facebook. If I'm on Facebook, I have to be careful what I'm going to say. Okay. Okay. Hey guys, get in here. Welcome. It's weird. I have Willie on YouTube. How did you? You were on my commenting before I even went live. So how does that work? I don't understand the technology. I don't understand. But welcome, welcome. Come on in. Okay, guys. It's what a week. Week. Okay. We'll wait a few more minutes. Hello. Hey, Peggy. New York, New York, New York. Oddly, New York is one of, like, it's the biggest. I have more people following me in New York than any other place. Is that weird? Because New York is a, I don't know why. I don't know why. But when you look at, like, my stats, New York is my top state, New York. So I don't know. I don't know. Make that make sense, right? I don't know. Biden wants to secure the border because his influx of migrants will not be. Okay. Yes. Yes. Willie, welcome. John, hey, welcome. Well, thank you, Peggy. So thank you so much. So here we are. I cannot believe that we're already almost through February. That's like a sign of you're getting older. You know, when you're like, I can't believe how fast the time flies. But honestly, it's gone really fast. It's February. I feel like we just rang in the new year. I do. And here we are. Hey, New Hampshire. Chris, what? How's New Hampshire? I've never been to New Hampshire. Well, no, I think I have. I have. Rehoboth Beach. I've been there years ago. I was out there. So I have been in New Hampshire. Beautiful, beautiful place. I'm in South Carolina and we'll be voting tomorrow. Nice, Robert. Good. Yes. I don't know why Nikki's still staying in the race. Honestly, like what? Again, make that make sense. I need to stop saying that. Like it's annoying myself now. Now I'm annoyed. Okay, let's begin. So what a week it's been. There's a lot to cover. I just kind of want to kind of go through some and highlight some of the stuff that's happened this week. I also want to read your comments on what you guys are thinking. Solar flare. That's kind of an interesting thing. Supposedly the cell phone outages yesterday, I think Verizon and AT&T were hit. I was not impacted. And everyone I talked to was not impacted. So that's weird, right? Like, did anyone else did somebody on here have issues with their phone? Let me know. Because we're hearing there were tons, but then everyone I talked to is like, no, I had cell phone service. That was fine. So maybe no one is using Verizon or AT&T. I don't know. But they're blaming it on a solar flare, which I find very interesting. It's saying, I read that a powerful X-class solar flare hit the Earth yesterday, causing radio blackouts over the U.S. and West Coast and much of the Pacific Ocean. The solar flare was spat out by a sunspot, and they named the sunspot AR3590. So, okay. Anyways, which has a volatile beta gamma delta magnetic field that makes it primed for X-class solar flares. The flare that hit the Earth on Wednesday was recorded as being a pretty high class, making it one of the most powerful solar flares. I don't know, and maybe I've just become, and I said this yesterday on Twitter because you can talk freely on Twitter. I just was like, or X, now it's X, but I don't know what's happened to me, guys, but I've become very cynical when it comes to believing anything I'm told, like anything, and which is not good. I mean, that's not good either, to be like such a skeptic that you just do not, it's like, mm-hmm. But I feel like I've turned into that. Now, when someone tells me something or the government says something or they report something, I don't believe, like, I don't initially believe. I used to be like, oh, okay, that's a solar flare. Is that what it was? A solar flare? That's so interesting. I'll have to. But was it a solar flare? Was it? I don't know. So I don't know if anyone else is feeling like that, but I am. I'm very distrusting at this point, especially in an election year. I feel like when you're in an election year, and this has been proven time and time again, nothing is a coincidence. Nothing that happens is like, oh, that's just so strange that that happened. No, nothing is strange that happens in an election year. I feel like everything is very calculated and planned. Some people are saying, was this like a dry run test of some kind, right? What happens when people's cell phones go down? And what does that look like? What happens if everyone loses all cell phone activity? Like, as a mother, I'd immediately be like, okay, I need to have my kids with me. And if they're not with me, I have to get them. And then how do I get a hold of them? Because they don't have cell phones and the cell phones are down. So I'm kind of like that person that has like a plan. I'm like, I know where my kids are at all times and I know who has them and they're close to family. So I have like this whole plan. I'm like, if this happens, then this is what we're going to do. And this is where we're going to meet if we have no way of connecting or talking to each other. And then if it's after a period of 24 hours, this is where I'm heading. Like, that is actually something that I talk to family about. I don't know if anybody else, or am I just paranoid? But I'm like, this is what's going to happen. And after 72 hours, this is where everyone should be gathered. Okay. And this is how we're going to survive. I've always had that. Like, even when I was a kid, I just thought like that. I did. So hopefully, if you do not have a plan in place, especially as a parent, put one in place. Just have a plan in place. It'll give you peace of mind. Like, okay, if I can't get a hold of my kids, but I know where they are. If this is where you guys are at this time, like, let's say you're at school and they go to a really good school. It's not woke or any of that junk. But if you're at school, this is what's going to happen. And this is how it's going to go down. And this is where I'm going to meet you and all of that stuff. I think it's very important. I do. And even in the midst of that, like, even if it did all go down and we had to follow the plan, like, it would still be chaotic. It would still be like, did they remember the plan? Did they follow? Like, but have something just to be prepared. Right. So, but we were told it was a solar flare. So I guess we're going to go with that. But I don't know. I don't know. And this is something that's very strange. And I'm kind of rambling on topics here because I have another topic, but this kind of coincides with it. Catherine Herridge from CBS News. She, incredible reporter, journalist, not biased. She literally is one of the last of the age of journalism where you had a journalist. And this used to be back in the day where journalists would just report the news. They would just report the facts. Hey, this is what's going on. This is what happened today. Here's the information that I have. And then they give it to you, the audience, and you take it and then you decide what you're going to do with that information. Nowadays, journalists are like, this is the information that we've gathered, and this is how you should think. And this is what was really going on. Like, this is happening. Like, remember with the Biden's son's laptop. I don't know. Can I say that on here? But remember, everybody was told, and the journalists all joined together, and they all told the American people that it was Russian disinformation. That was the reporting that were done. Instead of saying, hey, this laptop was found. This is what's on it. And I've seen a lot of the junk that's on it. And if you see what's on it at this point, I don't know. You could not support Biden after what you see what's on it. But after you see a lot of the stuff that's on it, you're like, okay, now I made up my own mind how I'm going to think. But the journalists and the media now tells people, hey, this is not true. This is false. This is not correct. We think it's false. I mean, we think it's false. There's a lot of people that are reporting that it's false, but you don't know it's false. There's nothing that's verified that this, in fact, is false. And it turned out to be true. It turned out to be real. It turned out to be a real laptop with real stuff on it. So Catherine Herridge, she's one of the last journalists just to present information. Anyways, she has been doing a lot of investigation on the Biden family and their foreign business dealings and all of the junk that, if you're informed, you know, we can't talk about it here, but you know about it, right? You know how they used their family name for influence. And now, I mean, look at where we are as a world. as the state of the world, right? Like it, that, this is what it looks like. You have open borders and you have a lot of military age people coming across our into our border. So maybe that has something to do with, I don't know, who's running the country. Anyways, so they fired her, but not just that, they took all of her, like all of her material, all the stuff that she's been like compiling and working on, like to really bring to the American people just the facts. Here's the facts. This is what I found. They took it all. And that's really, really, really bad. I mean, we're at another level of like, thank you, Brett, for the super chat. That's so sweet. But now we're at another level of like, if you are one of the rare few journalists that's just going to report the news, they're coming for you and they're going to try to stifle you. And you will not be able to speak the truth on a mainstream media platform like CBS, ABC News, NBC, like all of that. Like it's all programmed. And that's where we're at right now. But what's really concerning to me is I saw this video and I don't think I saved it to share with you guys, which is a bummer. Maybe I could post it later, like on this stream, but it was Catherine Herridge, like less than a year ago. She's sitting there with like other people on this show and it's like mainstream. I think it's CBS, like a mainstream, like morning talk show. And they're kind of like projecting what, you know, 2024 looks like. And she's like, I don't think it looks good. And they were kind of like, what? And she's like, I feel like we're kind of like in a season for a black swan event. And when you study like black swan events, like what does that mean? That's just so like mysterious. What is a black swan event? Well, black swan event is when basically something happens or something occurs that prevents things from moving forward as normal, like prevents us from having an actual election, something like that occurring that literally throws everything off its axis. And so that's kind of like what that's basically what she said. And it was kind of like, it's very ominous. And then shortly after, like within months, she's now fired and all of her information has been taken. So that combined with the solar flare, cell phones going down, I'm like, okay, all right, we got our plan. Does everybody have the plan? Does everybody have the plan in place? Are we ready? Are we set? Because if this goes down, do we know what we're going to do? And that's kind of where I'm at. So that's kind of something that really struck me. And it's kind of been, it's just been, you know, how it's just kind of running through on your mind. You're like, okay. And I think this woman's very informed, way more informed than I am. And she's seen stuff that I have not had privilege to see. And here she's saying, I don't feel good about it. I feel like we're due for some kind of, what something caused her to say that. Right. Something, I don't know. So plus with that, I don't know. People have told me to watch this one movie. And I remember I was on with Ken Matthews a few weeks ago and we were talking and he said, you got to watch this movie. What is it? It's the Netflix movie. The Obamas helped produce it. Julia Roberts is in it. What is it? It's like the end of the world kind of a thing. But I watched it and it's basically about like technology, like a cyber attack of some kind that literally collapses everything. And how long do you have when that happens? Like how are you going to survive if technology completely stops, if it shuts down, all the grocery stores are raided, food's gone. And then you got to think this, and I hate this. I don't want to be so dark, but this is my mind that I'm just sharing with you guys. But then you think like a lot of our vehicles are powered electronically, right? If you don't have a car that's from, I think it was like 19, it's got to be before the 1980s, I would think. Most of them are run and operated electronically. Like they have chips, right? So those chips wouldn't work. So then how would you get to from one place to another? I don't know. I'm thinking about this all the time. It's, Okay, so that's something that's happening this week. Not this week. Hopefully not this week. Hopefully never. Let's just pretend it's not happening. That's what I want to do. But I can't because that's just not my mind. I'm always like, and then I talk to my husband and he's like, oh my gosh, Rachel, just look at the sunshine, right? Look at the blue sky. Everything's going to be fine. So, but that's good. I think that's healthy to have people like that in your life that are like, hey, And if that happens, what are you going to do, right? This is when you just got to trust God. You got to trust God. You have to trust God, and you have to give it to him, because at the end of the day, he sees it all. He knows it all, and nothing's catching him off guard. And he does love us, and he does care about us. And there's a plan. Like, he has the ultimate plan. And if you read the scripture, you know the plan. So that gives me peace of mind. Another thing, Biden now is considering taking executive action to restrict those who seek asylum on the U.S.-Mexico border if they crossed illegally and not through a port of entry. Okay, let's just talk about this for a second. Biden is now considering taking executive action to stop this complete illegal flow of immigrants coming into this country. And if they're claiming asylum, according to current immigration law, they are to go through a port of entry. Well, the Biden administration has been like, who cares about the ports of entry? Come on in, open the border, let's go. And since Biden has gotten into office, over 7.2 million people have crossed our border, our southern border. You guys, that is insane. But what's even more insane is that Biden could have implemented this executive order on day one of his presidency, and he didn't. He didn't. I think that should speak to everyone, even if you're a lefty on here and you like to troll me and you're like, we love Biden, we hate Trump. Like, just, he could have done something 3.5 years ago, and he didn't. He didn't do anything. In fact, he removed the stay in Mexico policy. He removed, allowed for catch and release. And because of that, it has gotten out of control. We have 7.2 million people now in this country. You guys, this is insane. This is insane. And I want to tell you guys, let's just give you guys some statistics here. And everybody says, these are just people coming. They're just coming because they're fleeing. They're refugees fleeing war-torn countries. No, they're not. They're coming here for better jobs. Okay. Like, most immigrants do come here. But these people have decided just to come illegally because Biden has not implemented or enforced any current immigration laws, including the current asylum laws, which says you have to go through a port of entry. He has not been doing that. And because of that, we have millions of undocumented, unaccounted for people now in our country. And you've got to be a complete and total moron to think, these people are all just great. Like, they're all just great. They're just here. They just love America. No. We've got increased crime because of this. I don't know if you guys saw those police officers in New York City beaten severely by illegal immigrants. And then when they're being arrested, they're like flipping off everyone that's filming it. And if you're not coming legally, how can you respect the laws of the country you're coming into if you're illegally entering? Like, how? So then you have people here that have no love of country, no respect for our laws, no love for America and what we're founded on, and the culture that exists, the American culture that is here. It's being completely eroded and eradicated, and it's being done intentionally. Because if you now know, Biden could have done this 3.5 years ago, and he didn't do it on purpose. You guys, this is being intentionally done. And here you go. So the people that have been coming, okay, we've got Colombia, over 28,000 from Colombia, China, 21,000. And if you go down to the Darien Gap, I don't know if you guys are following Laura Loomer on X, also Brett Weinstein on X, they've gone down there and they're observing. Thank you, Norm, so much for the super chat. God bless you. And they've gone down to the Darien Gap, and they've seen these military age men from China coming into our country. And there's all sorts of theories on it. I highly encourage you to watch Brett Weinstein and Tucker Carlson. They sit down and they really talk about what is happening and why is this happening. So you've got 21,000 from China. You've got 18,000 from Mexico. And you would think Mexico would be the top one, right? Everyone's just saying it's just Mexico. It's just Mexico. It's people from Mexico that are coming. No, no. We've got Colombia, 28,000, China, 21,000, Mexico, 18,000, Brazil, 8,700, Ecuador, 7,700, Turkey, 6,100, India, 5,000, Guatemala, 5,000, Peru, 5,000, Guinea, 5,000. This is insane. This is insane. This is how you completely change a culture, right? Because if you're coming over illegally, I don't think you're going to really, really appreciate like what you have. And my sister sent me a video of a family that came over from Venezuela. And Venezuela it's not even on here, like on these stats. Coming over from Venezuela, they're living in an apartment. So I don't know how they got this apartment. They have a car, they have flat screen TV, like everything. This is all the taxpayer that is paying this. I don't know about you guys, but it's tight. Okay. This inflation, this economy is it's not helping the middle class at all. It's hurting the middle class. And now the middle class is being asked to increase taxes. My taxes where I live right now have gone up $4,000. $4,000. Like, that's not something you just plan for. That's because I'm living in a state currently run by a trifecta of liberals, trifecta of Democrats. And they're just going to suck it out of the American people. And the problem, and Margaret Thatcher said it best, the problem with socialism is what these people are, the Biden administration is pushing. The problem with socialism is you eventually run out of other people's money. Eventually, it's like no one has any, they can't give anymore. You can't. And that's what they're trying to do. If you eradicate the middle class and then you have the peasants and you have the elite and the elite roll over the peasants and it's just a completely controlled society, that's what they want. That's what they're trying to usher in. That's what we're looking at if we don't stop this. So here we are. What else did I want to tell you guys? There's another piece of information that I had. And I'm going to show. Let me see here. It's on, just to give you an idea of, let me see. Okay, just think about this. From 1892 to 1954, that's 62 years, right? That's 62 years. Ellis Island had 12 million people come in through Ellis Island. Okay, so that's the span of 62 years from 1892 to 1954. 12 million people. Under the Biden administration, in 3 years, from 2021 to 2024, we have had 7,298,000 people come into America. And almost all not done legally. Like that's shocking. And what's shocking now, and what says it just completely blows the Biden's cover that, oh, now I'm going to consider taking executive action on this. Now I'm going to consider doing something about this when you could have done something about this 3.5 years ago and you didn't. Why didn't you? Why? And if you're a thinking individual that has the ability to think freely and you've not been completely indoctrinated, you got to say, well, if you could have done something and you didn't do something, then you intentionally let something happen. Right? Right? Like if I see a car coming down the road and I'm watching a toddler because my kids are older now. I'm watching a toddler and I just don't make the motion to get the child away from the road so they're not in harm's way. I'm intentionally allowing something to happen that could be bad. That's what this administration has done. So anyways, I can't get over it. Like, I don't think I'll ever get over all that has happened in 3.5 years to our country. It's unreal. And I want to show you this quick clip because while all this is happening, I've got, you know, military age men crossing into our border. We've got China circling Taiwan. We've got Kim Jong-un in North Carolina threatening to use nuclear weapons. We've got Russia and Ukraine still going at it. We've got Israel and Hamas still combating. With all of that going on, all of it going on, our Secretary of State, who's in charge of foreign policy and how we negotiate with other countries and make sure things are, our policies are in place and how the U.S. interacts with other countries. And while all of that's going on, our Secretary of State is doing this. So
language, the list of do not use phrase in a memo to staff, he cautioned against using gendered language. The list of do not use phrases include manpower. You guys, ladies and gentlemen, mother, father, son, stepdaughter, and husband, wife. He also warned staff against pressuring coworkers to share their pronouns, which can include Z and Zer.
So, wow, right? Like, okay. That it's like the crazies are in charge. The crazies are in charge, you guys. And it's just nuts. My goodness. Because that's what we should care about right now. Removing the term mother and father. Like if you're a Biden supporter, explain this to me. Just explain it to me like I'm a five-year-old child. I need to know why. Why you think that these people that are in charge right now are taking our country in the right direction. Please, I want to hear from you. I do. I want to hear from you. Why do you think it's good to remove mother and father? You guys. What else did he say? It's like, wake me up from this nightmare. Son, stepdaughter, manpower. This is what our Secretary of State is focused on right now, you guys. And I know people that like him. I know people that support him. I know people that are going to be voting for Biden in 2024. And I just. Like, do you not care about your kids? That's what I want to ask you. Do you like not care about your grandkids? You just like, you know, let it burn. Like just light the rest, light what's left on fire. I mean, I kind of feel like that's the mentality of the left at this point. It's like I've run out of words. I've run out of ways to be like I'm trying to see it. And I think, and a lot of it has to do with our education. I think a lot of them have been brainwashed. I think a lot of them have been indoctrinated. I don't know if you guys know who Bill Ackerman is. He's a big hedge fund, very wealthy businessman, entrepreneur. He's got a very big following on X. And he went to Harvard graduate. He's been very outspoken on removing that she's been removed, Harvard president because of her plagiarism. And but he spoke about how after he went to Harvard and, you know, very successful, he sent his daughter went to Harvard, and she has like come out a Marxist, like come out completely brainwashed, allegedly. That's like what that story is. I've never talked to her or him, but that's what I was told when this was the story was reported. And it's like these people, they are sitting under professors that do not love this country, that hate America, and that literally want to completely change everything about who we are, what we're founded on, what we believe in, all of it. And then we send our kids off to these universities and hope that they hold on to the values that they've been instilled with at home. And that's just crazy. That's crazy. We have to change this. We cannot continue to do this. We can't. I remember going off to school, and I did. I went to Graduated from Colorado State University. Went to two other schools before I ended up there and then graduated. But I remember, and I was in the early, this is the early 2000s, and I remember sitting in a class, and it was still, we were still kind of in a good place at that point. But I remember sitting in a class being told to hate the patriarchy, to hate white men. White men have ruined, they're the evil ones. And I remember sitting there thinking, this lady's nuts. Like that was my, you know, and I'm hearing this and I'm like, okay, like this lady's crazy. You know, what is her deal? And then I remember sitting in a class with literally I was the only white person. There was one other white person in the class. And it was a study. And I was literally called out and told to hate myself because of the color of my skin. And I remember thinking, no, I'm not going to hate myself because of the color of my skin. And but the only way I was able to hold on to that and to be able to push back and even argue with people that here I am surrounded, I am the minority in this class, completely outnumbered. The only way I was able to stand up and say something and be like, no, is because I knew who I was in Christ. Because I knew my identity, who I was in Jesus. And that God fearfully and wonderfully made me in my mother's womb before I even took my first breath. And I knew this contradicts everything that I believe in as a Christian, as a believer in Christ, a believer in God. And God doesn't make mistakes. Like God doesn't create someone, oh, I didn't mean to make this person white, or oh, I didn't mean to make this person a female, or oh, I didn't mean to make this person a male. Like we are fearfully and wonderfully made by the Creator. God designed us to be who we are. And to then turn and begin to hate what the Creator made is such an abomination to the Creator. And I was like, I cannot accept this. I will not accept this. This is a lie. You're speaking lies. And this is coming straight out of the pit of hell into this classroom. And I'm not going to receive it. And I countered it. And that's what we have to do. We have to begin to rise up. And especially if you're a child of God, you have to begin to say that is contrary to everything that that my faith says I am, that God says I am, and I'm not going to receive this. And it's being pushed on our kids. It's being pushed in classrooms. It's being pushed across everything. It's being pushed in the new AI technology, which I wanted to mention to you guys. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Google recently put out their AI chat box, the Gemini or whatever, and Gemini, somebody programmed it to not recognize white people. To not recognize white people. What? Yes. It became a joke yesterday online. It was asked, show us a picture of the Pope. Now, there's never been a black Pope. Okay. And it showed a black Pope. It was also asked to show Vikings. Vikings are white people. Okay. Whether you, and they're white. They're from Scandinavia, Norway. like they're white people. And it showed black people dressed as Scandinavians. And like, so somebody, and then when you start to research who this person was, that's behind a lot of this, it's a white woman that feels guilty. You know, she was, they got to her, man. They sat her down in that classroom and they told her to hate who she is, hate the color of her skin. And she absorbed it. She absorbed it. She felt terrible. And she was launched into the world, got a job at Google. And now she's telling everybody else that we should hate white people too. Even though she's white. Like it's so messed up and it needs to stop. It doesn't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter what gender you are. And there are only two. Gosh, good luck to me on Facebook with saying that. But It doesn't matter. What matters is who you are in Christ. What matters is your identity in Him. And when you begin to understand that you're fearfully and wonderfully made by the Creator, then you cannot accept this stuff. You can't tiptoe around. You have to be honest. You have to be honest and bold and courageous in your faith. And that's what we're called to do, especially as Christians. And my message is to Christians. My message is to tell Christians to rise up in this time. You got to speak the truth. You got to be a light in the darkness. But that's just so messed up. It's just so messed up. And I don't mean to start preaching on you, but I'm done with it. I'm done with it. I'm done with it. And I know that it started years ago and it's seeped in and it's infiltrated every single thing. And for some reason, people that want to educate, people that they get into these classrooms and they weasel their way in and they begin to speak lies to these children. They begin to speak lies to the students and they begin to sow seeds. And then another professor, another teacher comes along and begins to water those seeds. You cannot allow those seeds to take root. Can't. Not going to do it. So you have to be on top of it. You have to be on top of what your kids are learning. You have to be on top of who they're learning from. You have to be heavily involved in everything. And I would really, really question whether you want to send them off to a university to be indoctrinated. Plus, when you start to think about all of this AI technology that's really starting to take over, this AI technology is going to take over a lot of jobs that kids go off to college for, and they go off to college to get a degree, and that soon will be taken over by AI. So I would encourage people to look at the trades, look at doing something that cannot be taken over by a woke machine. Okay. So anyways, and a good news, and I'm going to start to wrap this up here, is Trump's attorneys have found phone records of Nathan Wade. Remember Nathan Wade? This was last week. There was the misconduct hearing of Fannie Willis and her relationship with Nathan Wade, who was also working as a prosecutor to take down Trump with racketeering in Georgia. And this whole case is kind of imploding and falling apart because there's been alleged ethical violations. And because of that, it's kind of unraveling, because now Fannie Willis can't be trusted. People are arguing that she can't continue this case if she did have relationship with this guy that she later hired. And then he allegedly used his income salary to take Fannie on lavish vacations and spend it. But Fannie was saying that she didn't know him. She didn't know him prior to hiring him. Like, there was no prior relationship. But now Trump's attorneys have found phone records. I'll just read this to you. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution is reporting on Nathan Wade's bombshell cell phone data story following a court filing Friday by Trump's defense attorneys that include thousands of text messages and phone calls dating back to 2021. And they said that they were not in a relationship prior to that. The cell data reveals that Fulton County DA Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade appear to have met up at least 35 times in 2021 at Fannie Willis's residence before the district attorney hired him as special prosecutor. Wow, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. And the thing about this case that makes it special and significant is because this was a state. This is state. And if Trump were to become president again, he could not pardon himself if charges are brought through state. He can pardon these other indictments because they're federal. But this one was special because he would have to actually serve the time. But now this case is literally falling apart. It's showing that these two allegedly lied. And so this is a big deal. It's a very big deal. It's very good for Trump. What else is going on? We've got Letitia James threatening now to take Trump's buildings in New York if he doesn't pay money. These people have they're ruthless, right? And when you're dealing with full-blown communists, they don't let up. And it's time for us to not let up. We have to be persistent. We have to be aggressive in speaking the truth. You can't sit on the sidelines at this point. I mean, my goodness, if you love your country, begin to speak up. If you love your country, and I'm not calling people to be crazy or violent or argumentative even, but you have to speak the truth. You have to begin to say, even this is what I say to people, because some people are like, it's just hard. It's just difficult. I just don't know. You can be in a room full of people and they can be talking about something or bashing someone or whatever. And you could just say, I disagree. And I've been in a situation before where women were talking and they were all, and I simply just said, I disagree. And when you do that, you allow other people in that room, in that moment to feel like, oh, then I don't have to agree with the loudmouth either. I don't agree either. It gives liberation to the situation, right? It sets people free from having this groupthink mentality where you're like, everyone, oh, this is how we think. And this is, and I guess because no one else is saying anything, then everybody else agrees, but that's not necessarily true. Often you just have to say, I disagree. And then if you don't want to debate, that's fine. I don't want to debate. I don't want to get into a big argument, but I disagree and I see things differently than you do. So that's it. That's all you have to do. And it allows everybody else in that room to be like, oh, okay, well, maybe I think differently too. But the problem is we've become too quiet. We've become too passive. And while you're being passive, you're letting communists take over this country full blown. So start to speak up. That's what I'm encouraging people to do. Speak up. What else? Let's look at some of your comments. The Black Swan is that they will throw Trump in jail. They'll throw Trump in jail is what Eric is saying. Could be. That would, like you said, that could cause a lot of issues. I guess there's power in numbers. If we all come together, we will be unstoppable. Amen. Yes. And don't think that you're outnumbered. Because often I think it's easy to think like, oh, the media and Hollywood and all of these woke people at these companies, you know, implementing this DEI junk. Like you think that you're out, but you're not. You're not outnumbered. When you begin to actually talk to people about issues, and even the trolls on here, like they would admit that they don't align with how far the left has gone. Like the fact that you can't say mother, father, like what? I'm sorry. Like that's crazy. That's crazy. And I'm not going to align with crazy. Even those people in the middle that can't stand Trump, you know it. You know it. You're on here watching. You troll me all the time. Like you know it. Like that's like you can't say you guys. Do you align with that? Do you think that that's normal? Like honestly. So anyways, I wanted to end it with this. I want to show you guys a quick video I made because I am hearing stories of people waking up. I am hearing stories of people being like, you know, I didn't see it, but now I'm starting to see it. There are people, and it might just be one, right? But this little piece, this is a satiric piece, and you probably have not, if you're on Facebook, you probably most likely haven't seen it. It's from a true story. It was inspired by the other day I was online and this woman posted a lefty woman. She posted a video, a picture of her in all blue. And she's living in a red county. She specified a red county, red state. And she was so happy to wear her all blue to go vote. Like she was going to, it was her primary. She's going to go vote and she's in her all blue and she's going to really show everybody there that she's, you know, she's just a proud lefty, you know, liberal woman. And, you know, she's going to give it to them. But she's living in a red county, in a red state. And I'll tell you this, if you are living in a red county, in a red state, you are avoiding leftist policies. If you like leftist policy so much, go live in a leftist county, in a leftist state. Go live in San Francisco. Oh, I can't afford San Francisco. Exactly. Go live in New York City. Go step over the feces as you try to make your way to work. Honestly, don't go to a red state and vote blue. Whether you realize it or not, you are avoiding the policies that you're then voting for. So I'm just so over it. And so she inspired me. And just so you know, lefties, trolls, you inspire me. You do, because I create material based off of you. So I thank you every single day. Know that you're providing me material and it's awesome. So
my
here we go.
Tiffany, and I want to tell you guys a little bit about myself. I just recently moved from a blue state to a red state. And I had to get out of the blue state because the crime was out of control. Like, it was getting really, really dangerous to live there. And there was so much homelessness and the taxes were so high that I could not afford anything, like barely anything. And there was a lot of drug use and feces on the street. I used to walk to work and feces like all over the place. It was bad. And so much homelessness, you guys. And so I was like, I have to go. So I moved to a red state and now I live in a red state, in a red county, and there's very little crime, very little homelessness. I still actually walk to work and I do not have to change my shoes when I get to work. There's no like needles on the ground. And the taxes are really low, so I can like buy things again, which is awesome. But I want to tell you guys that I'm wearing all blue today because today is my state's primary and I am so excited to vote all blue ticket today, because the state that I live in now is nothing like the state that I left. I gotta go.
So that's that. And you know, and then and a lot of people argued with that one because they're like, you know, they don't have that revelation, Rachel. They just can't see it. And I know, trust me, guys, I've got people in my life that I'm like, my goodness, how can you not see it? I don't know how you can't see it. A lot of people can't see it. I'm fully aware of that. But there are some that can. And there are some. And I refuse to give up on them. I don't know what it is about me. I don't know. I'm persistent in reaching those people that don't want to see it. I don't know why I'm designed this way. It's got to be a God-given thing. But I'm like, you're going to see it. You got to see it. You have to see it. You're going to see it. You're going to see it. And maybe because I care too much, I do care. I care for the truth. I care that people see the truth. I care that people are not deceived. I cannot stand deception. It really, really bothers me. And I feel like a lot of these people that can't see it, they're deceived, right? They're not bad people. They have like good intentions and they have like good hearts. Like, that's what I want to believe. Maybe not, but they just can't get there. And I believe that we can reach them. Now, some, I know their hearts are hardened and they're spiritually blind and they're unreachable. Like, I totally aware. I'm aware of that. But I also believe that there are those some people that don't let up on it. Like, just don't let up on it. And prayer. I really believe like if you combine prayer with continuing to speak the truth, that you will get breakthrough. You will get breakthrough. So don't let up. Continue to speak the truth. Continue to shine a light. And, you know, that's what I do. I try to use comedy. I try to use humor. I try to use satire and ridicule in some ways. Like, I will be like, this guy, this is your guy? Like, really? This is your guy? I try to show them through humor and comedy, like, this is crazy. Like, I'm sorry, if your guy is telling you you can't use the word mother or father or son or daughter or like he or her, like that's your message? Like, just pump the brakes for a second and think about it. And so my goal is to shine light on that. That's what I do. So, and this would be a great time to say, support me in it, guys. I honestly, like I said, if you like my content, if you appreciate what I'm doing, if you believe in using comedy, if you believe in reaching the middle, the middle that refuses to want to see it. If you want to reach them, maybe you have family, maybe you have friends that you're like, you know, I'm trying to get them to see it. I do believe that you reach them emotionally first, right? You reach them emotionally first, and then you start to give the facts, the data, that stuff. But emotionally, make them laugh, right? Make them chuckle. Make them cry. Make them be like, I had no idea that was happening to kids that were crossing the border. I had no idea about the trafficking and to allow an open border is allowing this. It's championing trafficking humans. Like, we got to make this stop. This is wrong. Like, to move them. I believe that conservatives really lack in that department. Let's move them there. Let's get them that way. So I will drop my Patreon. I've got new patrons coming too. I'm so thankful for that. New people that have jumped on board to support me because it's an encouragement. It says, hey, keep going. Don't let up. Even if it's just a dollar, $2, $3, I'll take it. It helps me buy my wigs. It helps me justify doing this instead of going to work on a PAC or a campaign, which I often do during election seasons, but that takes me away from creating videos and satire. So, all right, you guys, I just want to thank you for your support. Keep being a light, keep speaking the truth. And, you know, don't let up. Be bold, shine bright, right? We're not to put our lamp under a bush. Shine bright. All right, you guys, God bless you and have a great weekend. We'll talk soon.